This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
It's October, and what does that mean? Well, it's Geico-ween, of course. Don't be spooked by high rates on car insurance. Geico is brewing up spellbinding savings that they're crafting just for you. See how much you could save. Get a quote today at geico.com.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Extended deadlines. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, October 29. Thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Supreme Court says Pennsylvania and North Carolina can proceed with extended deadlines beyond Election Day for receiving mail-in ballots.
Stocks fell hard as investors digested more news about re-emerging pandemic restrictions and lack of aid from Washington.
Hurricane Zeta came ashore in Louisiana as a Category 2 storm, but has since been downgraded. Hundreds of thousands were without power.
And Americans in the kitchen switching to alternative flour.
Turns out you could make flour from basically anything. That's green bananas, sweet potatoes, corn, and some of those were used in other cuisines for, you know, as long as history goes back. But people are discovering these flours. Well, they initially discovered them when traditional wheat flour was out of stock during the baking craze.
Elizabeth Buchwald at MarketWatch on a new trend in cooking during the pandemic. The Supreme Court is allowing extended deadlines for receiving mail-in ballots in next Tuesday's election in Pennsylvania and North Carolina. The ruling is seen as a blow to the Trump campaign. New Justice Amy Coney Barrett did not participate in yesterday's decision. The action by the justices means a ruling by Pennsylvania's top court allowing mail-in ballots that are postmarked by Election Day and received up to 3 days later can be counted. A similar ruling was made for North Carolina. Meanwhile, the president campaigned in Goodyear, Arizona.
6 days from now, we are going to win Arizona, and we are going to win four more years in our great, beautiful White House.
Democratic nominee Joe Biden spoke in his home state of Delaware.
6 more days left in this election, and the American people have it in their hands to put this country in a vastly different path.
As of yesterday afternoon, more than 75 million votes have been cast, more than half of the total number of votes cast in the 2016 election. Hurricane Zeta has killed at least one person after arriving in southeastern Louisiana as a Category 2 storm. It brought strong winds and life-threatening storm surge to the Gulf Coast, a region already hammered by storms this season. Zeta, now a tropical storm, made landfall near Cocaudry, a fishing village in Terrebonne Parish, south of New Orleans, with 110 mile-an-hour winds. That is 1 mile per hour shy of a Category 3 storm. By late yesterday, it was battering the Mississippi coast. The person killed was a 55-year-old man said to have been electrocuted by a downed power line in New Orleans, City Mayor LaToya Cantrell.
It could have been worse. You know, always be reminded of that. Even to our neighbors in southwest, you know, Louisiana, and even our evacuees we're still hosting in our city, it could have been worse.
Officials in New Orleans said a turbine that helps power drainage pumps broke down over the weekend and was not back in service ahead of the storm. Meanwhile, more than 500,000 homes and businesses were without power in Louisiana last night. Executives from the largest social media companies have testified before the Senate Commerce Committee over their role in public discourse during a contentious election campaign. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, Jack Dorsey from Twitter, and Sundar Pichai, CEO of Alphabet, which owns Google and YouTube, all appeared by video. Mr. Pichai of Google.
Since our founding, we've been deeply committed to the freedom of expression. We also feel a responsibility to protect people who use our products from harmful content and to be transparent about how we do that.
Colorado Republican Cory Gardner questioned Twitter's decisions to label some posts by President Trump as misleading, but not others by Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei threatening Israel and denying the Holocaust. The tech giants have spent the years since 2016 rewriting their policies and taking a more active role in moderating online speech. It's 11 minutes after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
This year, Michigan businesses have had to adapt, and the Michigan Economic Development Corporation was right there alongside them, helping to connect businesses to new resources, meet new partners, and access the additional capital they needed right from the start. If your business needs support to reach its new potential, the MEDC is available to help in any way we can. Contact us today for customized business assistance at michiganbusiness.org/partnership.
Thanks for spending time with us. In the final stretch of the campaign, both President Trump and Joe Biden are highlighting relationships with historically black colleges and universities. As the former vice president seeks to shore up support among a key Democratic constituency and Mr. Trump tries to make further inroads, it's a story by Joshua Jamerson, national political reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Joshua, what are we learning?
So two things. One, on the Biden side, Vice President Biden's aides are kind of aware of the fact that a lot of polls show him underperforming with black men, particularly younger black men. And what I mean by underperforming is he's not earning enough support as Hillary Clinton did 4 years ago. That's not to say that this demographic is supporting President Trump in large numbers, but Democrats worry that younger black men may not vote at all. But that they'd be inclined to vote for Joe Biden if the outreach was there. So that's part of what they're trying to do with their HBCU outreach. There's more than 200,000 HBCU students in this country, plus a sprawling alumni network and family members, and et cetera. So it's part of their effort on the one hand to kind of shore up some of that support, whereas President Trump this is an extension of the last 4 years of him trying to make inroads with black Americans after a kind of paltry showing in 2016 inside the demographic. So his outreach is kind of touting what he's done for HBCUs over the last 4 years as president, some increased federal funding, the forgiveness of some federal loans, and that's part of the president's outreach on the other side.
Why would Mr. Biden be underperforming with young black men?
Democrats say that the former vice president is running for office at a time when black Americans more broadly are, feel sort of disillusioned with government altogether. And this comes at a moment when we had a summer of racial reckoning and awakening in this country. And we've seen this in the polls for some time where younger black men have just not been there in the polling, at least. You know, election day is only a few days away, so we'll see how it turns out. But in the polling, at least, he's underperformed Hillary Clinton for some time.
Well, we're speaking with Joshua Jamerson, national political reporter at The Wall Street Journal. He's written a piece entitled Historically Black Colleges Become Focus of Biden and Trump Outreach. Is each candidate pitching specific proposals here?
So what's interesting is that the Biden campaign, obviously, that running as a challenger, there are quite a few proposals that the vice president and Senator Harris are leaning on, one of which is an injection of billions of dollars into HBCUs, including roughly $20 billion worth of grants to four-year institutions. They want to forgive student loan debt at private HBCUs, as well as all public, predominantly white institutions. That's part of their plan, but they also want to forgive some student loan debt at private HBCUs. So that's kind of their policy pitch. On the other hand, the president is kind of just touting his record. He talks about the increased funding, as I mentioned earlier. He'll talk about embracing HBCU presidents in the White House, but he doesn't spend as much time talking about what he might do in a second term for HBCUs.
Any indication that the increased focus here by either campaign is working?
I think we're so close to election day that we'll know the answers to that soon enough. I will say The Biden campaign, I've been on some of their virtual outreach. They did some Instagram Live community conversations. They've done some virtual rallies geared toward HBCU students. I asked the Trump campaign what events they were having on HBCU campuses, either in person or virtually, and got no response.
Thanks, Joshua. Joshua Jamerson, national political reporter at the Wall Street Journal. The nation's roughly 100 HBCUs, by the way, represent about 3% of all U.S. colleges and universities, but they produce roughly 20% of all black graduates. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Fast-moving Hurricane Zeta is barreling northeast this morning after ripping through Louisiana and Mississippi, where storm-weary residents are advised to stay indoors while officials assess damage. New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell.
The city of New Orleans, our public safety officials are beginning to assess the damages. This is not for residents to do themselves.
Zeta pummeled its way ashore yesterday as a strong Category 2 and then moved swiftly across the New Orleans area and into neighboring Mississippi, bringing with it fierce winds and storm surge. Officials are blaming Zeta for at least two deaths.
Number two.
The Supreme Court has dealt setbacks to Republicans by allowing extended deadlines for receiving mail-in ballots in Tuesday's election in Pennsylvania and North Carolina. The action by the justices, with their new colleague Amy Coney Barrett remaining on the sidelines, means a September 17th ruling by Pennsylvania's top court allowing mail-in ballots that are postmarked by Election Day and received up to 3 days later to be counted will remain in place for now. The court also rejected a request by President Trump's campaign to block North Carolina's extension of the deadline for receiving mail-in ballots.
Number three.
A Senate hearing to reform an internet law and hold tech companies accountable for how they moderate content quickly turned into a political scuffle as lawmakers not only went after the companies but also attacked each other. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg.
The fact that both sides criticize us doesn't mean that we're getting this right, but it does mean that there are real disagreements about where the limits of online speech should be.
Lawmakers are split on ways to hold big tech accountable under Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which protects companies from liability over content posted by users, but also lets the firms shape political discourse. Facing a deadly pandemic, contentious presidential election, and ongoing economic woes, we might be forgiven for feeling less festive this holiday season. That's the upshot of a Gallup poll that shows most consumers plan to significantly cut back on their gift spending. Respondents to the survey say they plan to spend an average of $805 on presents this year, down from $942 last year, nearly 15% drop. Such a drop would hurt retailers already reeling from the economic impact of the coronavirus.
Oh boy. Sometimes I give you a bottle of wine for Christmas. This year, I might just go right to whiskey or tequila, just something hard.
Oh, that's more expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take it.
just to do shots instead of sipping something. I don't know. 23 minutes after the hour. Thanks for joining us. Americans for months have been rethinking the kind of flour that they use when cooking. It's the latest trend emerging from the pandemic. Here's Elizabeth Buchwald, reporter at MarketWatch. Elizabeth, who knew there were lots of different types of flour?
Turns out you could make flour from basically anything. That's green bananas, sweet potatoes, corn. And some of those were used in other cuisines for, you know, as long as history goes back. But people are discovering these flours. Well, they initially discovered them when traditional wheat flour was out of stock during the baking craze. But interestingly enough, people are sticking with these flours.
Wow. All right. So what kinds of different flours are there?
So I mentioned a couple of them, the sweet potato, cassava, oat, almond, buckwheat. The list really goes on and on.
Wow. And then, as you said in the story, like if you are trying a certain diet, it requires you to think differently about flour.
Right. So that's one of the things I touched upon, because as we've seen throughout the pandemic, it's been hard to stick with diets. People have kind of abandoned them and say, oh, well, I'll come back to those. But the diets that people appear to be sticking with, according to some research I cited in the story, are gluten-free diets and keto diets. And both of those call for these types of alternative flours. So it's interesting that that's one of the reasons why people are sticking with it.
Wow. So it was an interesting point in your story, too, where somebody said it gives people who cook a sense of control.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. Going back to this whole pandemic, it's time of complete chaos everywhere. You know, you never know what day you're going to wake up to, what news is going to come out. And I think for some people, having that sense of, okay, I'm going to be cooking this meal tonight, a lot of it involves meal planning too, because you can't get necessarily all the ingredients online. So it's a very kind of planned out diet, and people very much gravitate towards that type of planning, especially in times of chaos.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Buchwald, reporter at MarketWatch. Her piece is called "The Weird Pandemic Trend That's Sticking: People Are Switching to Alternative Flours." So sales of flour, alternative flours, are up, I presume, and that's expected to continue, or too soon to tell?
No, it's only predicted to continue. Certain things, so one stat I quoted in my story, sweet potato flour, interestingly, hit its height in June. It was more than 100% higher dollar sales than the same month of last year. Other flours, like oat flour, hit their height around March, and they're still a lot higher than they were last year, but they've kind of gone down a bit. But other flours, I mean, they haven't completely dropped now that wheat flour, the supply chains have caught up. So I think you're definitely going to see some of this sticking well beyond the pandemic.
All right. So since you and I have admitted we don't know much about flour, or didn't before you pulled your story together, what's the advice then for people who want to try baking or cooking with alternative flours?
Right. I asked sources that because I have no idea where to start myself. And the advice I got is not to just go at it with all of them. They're very different flours. You'll get different flavors, textures. And if you go at it at once, you're not going to be able to decipher between those.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Buchwald, reporter at MarketWatch. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. So if you're working from home, are you still dressing for work? While we can all understand not wearing a tie, going to the other extreme, like an old t-shirt, is a little too casual. If you need to upgrade the work-from-home wardrobe, try Cuts Clothing. Technical apparel for the sport of business. GQ called them the only shirt worth wearing. They combine an athletic, tailored-looking fit with their custom-engineered, wrinkle-free, ultra-soft Pika fabric for a new level of fit, fabric, and function. I gotta say, I love wearing my Cuts shirts. They're tough, they're durable, yet still flexible, willing to move with me. And now Cuts is finally out with their new polos and hoodies made with their custom Hyperloop French Terry fabric. Try Cuts and save. Cuts is loved by your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, and even podcast hosts. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
Tired of trying to separate fact from fiction? Get your information from a source you can trust. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning, with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday, October 29. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Supreme Court says North Carolina and Pennsylvania can extend deadlines for receiving mail-in ballots. Hurricane Zeta leaves hundreds of thousands without power in Louisiana. Federal agents warning that a major ransomware assault is underway against our hospitals. Winds died down somewhat to help crews battling wildfires in Southern California yesterday. Google's Pixel 5 smartphone being released today, Falcons and Panthers in Thursday Night Football, and a firefighter's apology note pulls the heartstrings in Colorado. That story in about 20 minutes. The stock market rout continues, deepening this week's losses on concerns that rising number of coronavirus infections in the U.S. and Europe will push governments to bring back restrictions on businesses. All three major indexes were off by better than 3% yesterday. More on the investor mindset from Jessica Menton, markets reporter at USA Today. Jess, what's got people spooked?
Obviously, the stock market rout has continued this week, and really it's deepening those losses on concerns that rising numbers of infections in the U.S. along with Europe will actually push governments to potentially bring back restrictions on businesses. And obviously, when we think back to earlier this spring and what had happened with the economy, it's kind of giving investors some of those jitters. But I think something important to keep in mind is we've had such a strong run-up and a rebound in the stock market since the spring that I don't think investors and average Americans who are looking at their 401k balances should necessarily freak out about the losses that we've seen over the past few days, but there are those concerns when you see those rising case numbers, along with uncertainty ahead of the election coming up within the next week. And again, as you said, too, with the stimulus talks hitting another impasse, there is that concern about the Fed has done what it can to help prop up the markets, and Fed Chair Jerome Powell has said there needs to be more fiscal aid, because if there are rising case numbers and infections and businesses do need to close, there needs to be either more stimulus checks, PPP money for those businesses that are impacted, and then also people who are continuing to be on unemployment so that they can spend that money and keep the economy growing. So there's a lot of things involved in that. So there are those concerns there, but I don't think people should necessarily freak out about it just yet.
All right, but the infections have been spiking for a couple of weeks now, right? And stimulus has been a struggle seemingly for the same amount of time. How come it seems like now all of a sudden the market is taking a hit, or a sharper hit?
Right. I think some of it also has to do with some of the election odds that are coming up. And, you know, I'm working on a story that takes a look at what investors really want to see. And a lot of people think, when it comes to their pocketbooks, they're thinking, okay, well, will a Trump win or a Biden win be better for me? But actually, when it comes to Wall Street, they typically like a split Congress, like we've had right now. We've had a little bit over a decade where you're having, you know, one Republican chamber and the other a Democrat, because really there can't be a lot of sway in either direction. And in order for there to be sort of changes to, say, the tax overhaul that we saw in recent years, if there was some sort of Democratic sweep, that would have to happen. There would be some sort of blue wave there. But we don't necessarily know if that's going to happen just yet. But we have seen people move in recent months, because technology has had such an outsized impact and has really thrived in this sort of stay-at-home economy that we've been in, but they've had such a big run-up. Now, I've talked to portfolio managers where they're kind of spreading out where their allocations are into more beaten-down sectors of the economy that weren't doing as well in the spring. And I think because technology has such an outsized impact, when you're thinking about the Amazons and the Apples of the world, if they're not doing quite as well, sometimes that could have an outsized impact. But for instance, today, technology is not doing terrible. It's really those companies that rely on the economy reopening, when you're thinking about airlines and cruise liners in hospitality and things like that. So those are the ones taking a hit right now. And I think that there are those concerns about at what point is it going to be too late if there isn't more fiscal aid to help shore up the economy.
All right. We're speaking with Jessica Menton, personal finance and markets reporter at USA Today. She's written a piece about how the markets are reacting to the spike in coronavirus cases and the impasse on a stimulus measure in Washington. Touch on oil, too, and the position that it's in.
Right. In oil, it's been down on worries that the economy was already weakened by the virus and that consumers would end up consuming even less energy. And so we are seeing, when we're looking at energy, those prices down. And so there is that concern. I mean, if you look at gas prices, you'd think, oh, well, you know, cheaper gas prices, that'll be great for consumers and their pocketbooks. But if everyone's staying at home and nobody's driving, then there's that sort of caveat to it as far as people not driving as much. And so there's a lot of different factors involved in this.
Thanks, Jess. Jessica Menton, personal finance and markets reporter at USA Today. 20 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It is time now for the mic drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, with a lot of people spending a lot more time at home this year and clearly looking for a distraction from current events, people seem to be going all out to decorate for Halloween this year, sometimes pushing the boundaries and maybe getting themselves into trouble. For two examples, we take you to the Lone Star State. First stop in Richmond, where a woman's homeowners association requested that she remove her suggestive decorations depicting pole dancing skeletons at an outdoor strip club, along with some skeletal clientele, on the grounds that it's inappropriate for a family-friendly neighborhood. Angela Nava told the Houston Chronicle that the vast majority of her neighbors have been supportive of her display, though there have been a few haters. In any case, she says she has no plan to take down the display since the HOA gave her 30 days to remove it, and Halloween is only a few days away.
Does seem like a little nod from the Homeowners Association. What? Like, we're trying not to fully kibosh what you've done here.
Right.
However,
we would like it removed. By giving her the 30 days, it just sort of seems like,
you know what it really is? They're listening to the complaints of the people, right?
Yes.
Look, we hear you. We're listening to you. We're going to take action. Right. But guess what? It's really not going to amount to a hill of beans.
Seems like they're straddling both sides here.
Yeah. It seems like this is a big skeleton year for Halloween decorations. Like, anecdotally,
it seems like
the skeletons, I don't know if they got cheaper this year or what, but the skeletons are everywhere. They're climbing on people's houses and coming out of their windows, and everybody's got skeletons this year.
There's a guy in my neighborhood, our family, who has put up a front yard display that's got a lot of different characters in it, and one of them is a clown head in a cage, like a steel cage.
Okay.
And the clown is banging its head back and forth, like, against the cage.
Yeah.
It's a pretty creepy scene. They did a good job.
They've gotten really good with those animatronic type things,
yeah,
like the ones that move. Yeah, they've gotten really good with those over the years.
I feel like there is more energy for displays this Halloween.
Yes.
This is sort of people's coming out party. Like, I'm so tired of being indoors.
Yes.
I'm actually going to put up a Halloween display.
Right.
Rather than just a pumpkin or flowers on the front porch.
They have more energy than I do, to be honest. And traveling north on I-45 now, an East Dallas man claims his home has become a frequent stop for local police after going all out to transform his yard into a stomach-churning murder scene for Halloween. Steve Novak's property is littered with bloody, butchered dummies decorating his roof, front stoop, sidewalk, and lawn. Novak told the Dallas Observer that he was dead set against a hokey Halloween display and was determined to go all out for All Hallows Eve this year. Novak said the dramatic display has also made him fast friends with the Dallas Police Department, claiming that cops have stopped by multiple times since the gory scene went up.
It's funny.
Once again, that's sort of the cops, you know, we understand, we're hearing you, we hear your complaint.
Yes.
We understand your concern, we're going to stop by, but we're going to wind up just kind of, you know, chatting with the homeowner and then driving away.
It's funny. It makes me think of a guy from an old neighborhood who had two daughters, and for one Halloween, he dressed up, I believe it was Mike Myers.
Yes.
From Halloween.
Right.
And he just stood there on the corner, like in our little development of like a, you know, one of the small intersections.
Yes.
He just stood there. He had like the fake knife in his hand with the mask on and that blue kind of one-piece janitor's type outfit. He stood there for like an hour and people just walked by. I don't think the young kids kind of knew.
Right.
But he was so good because he never moved.
Right.
It was just creepy to walk
by
him.
Because something like that, you could actually scare the adults more than the kids.
Yeah.
And all you had to do was just stand there.
Here I am.
Not move a
muscle.
I don't
know, 9 years later talking about it, right? It was just great. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour. Do business more powerfully during Dell's semi-annual sale. Save up to 45% on Dell computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Also, save on electronics and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find just the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and proven adaptability are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Hey, thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. While Americans increased their reported mask use between April and June, other mitigation measures dropped or saw little improvement. That's according to a new report from the CDC. Among the findings, younger people reported less mask use than older adults. A survey found those aged 18 to 29 upped their mask use from 70% in April to 86% by June. That's the latest data. Meanwhile, adults over 60 increased their mask use from 84% in April to 92% by June. However, other important measures like hand washing, social distancing, and avoiding crowds decreased. The U.S. is experiencing surges in cases between 60 and 80,000 new reported infections daily, and some states in the Midwest are peaking in coronavirus-related hospitalizations. However, the CDC report stems from data up until June 8, and at that point, we were just over 20,000 new cases a day. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Federal agencies are warning of an increased and imminent cyber crime threat to U.S. hospitals and healthcare providers, including so-called ransomware attacks. The agencies say people are targeting the health sector with TrickBot malware, which in addition to data theft can result in ransomware attacks. Authorities say healthcare providers should take precautions to protect their systems.
Number two.
Stocks tumbled yesterday as coronavirus cases soared globally and investors worried about the possibility of a contested presidential election. Washington's failure to reach a new deal on fiscal stimulus also contributed to the slaughter, sending the Dow Industrials down 943 points. But national securities market strategist Art Hogan says investors shouldn't lose hope.
2021 is going to be a better year than 20, and a lot of economic energy will be released on the other side of the calendar year, regardless of who wins the election.
Number three.
France and Germany have announced new lockdowns in a sign of how Europe's strategy for containing the coronavirus has buckled under the pressure of mounting cases and deaths. France has called for a national lockdown for 1 month beginning tomorrow. It will require people to remain inside their homes. While restaurants, bars, and shops deemed non-essential will close, Germany will close restaurants, bars, theaters, gyms, and concert halls. The identity of a senior official in the Trump administration who wrote a New York Times op-ed about working against President Trump's worst inclinations has remained anonymous until now. The person who wrote the op-ed is Miles Taylor, a former top official at the Department of Homeland Security. The White House hunted down the author for a while without success. In August, Taylor lied when he was asked by CNN's Anderson Cooper if he was anonymous. 60 people have been charged in a widespread magazine telemarketing scam that authorities say netted $300 million from more than 150,000 elderly and vulnerable people nationwide. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Minnesota called the scam the largest elder fraud scheme in the country. Defendants used a network of dozens of fraudulent magazine sales companies and telemarketing call centers to carry out the scam. Well, Tupperware used to rely on parties to sell its wares. These days, stay-at-home mandates are fueling sales. Recently on life support, Tupperware says its quarterly profit quadrupled to $34 million as millions of people in a pandemic open cookbooks again and look for solutions to leftovers.
Some of the trickle-down from the pandemic is just bizarre.
Tupperware again.
That's funny. Thanks, Jen. Thanks for being with us. Firefighters in Colorado who've been busy battling two of the largest wildfires in state history are being recognized for leaving behind a display of humanity. Grand County homeowner Daniel Stone posted a handwritten note left behind by firefighters who saved his home from the second largest blaze in state history, known as the East Troublesome Fire. The note read, "If this note finds you, we must have done something right. Sorry for the loss of your shed. And we had to cut a little of your wood fence to save your house. Things got really hot. We stayed as long as possible." The note was signed, "Best Wishes," from Engine 1446 in the town of Meeker. Mr. Stones immediately responded to their note, posting to Twitter, "We got your note, forever in your debt, and with tears of gratitude. You are truly superheroes. Words do no justice. Thank you," he wrote in all caps. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as watching your dog growl at the wall and realize he sees something you don't. Get a quote at geico.com.